Anything going on in terms of prevention or chemo prevention in these survivors?
Well, that is a very sore point. We would love to have a drug that works. We did a study with celecoxib that suggested some activity, but you can't give a preventive in long-term survivors that has any kind of significant mortality or morbidity associated with it. You have to remember, if patients are living 20 years, that's a big problem. Perhaps the HPV vaccine might be important in the HPV patients. Perhaps
once they have it?
We don't know. We don't know if they're at risk for a second cancer in the site or a second type of cancer associated with HPV.
But, I mean, would you expect the vaccine to be able to sterilize the...
No, I wouldn't.
What would it be doing?
We don't think it would sterilize them, but it might prevent reinfection.
Well, I see.
But we don't know. So there are lots of questions that can be asked about what to do. But for one thing, with the HPV patients, should we vaccinate their spouses? There's an increased risk of tonsillar cancer in spouses of patients with tonsillar cancer, which is undoubtedly due in part to shared smoking, but also to possibly shared virus.
Do we know what happens when you give the vaccine to somebody who's already infected?
I don't think it has much impact on already infected individuals. This is part of understanding the whole pathogenesis of the disease. You know, what is the latency? Is there reinfection? Does the virus persist? I mean, we live with Epstein-Barr virus all of our lives, and yet only a small fraction of people get nasopharynx cancer, which is directly caused by Epstein-Barr virus. So there are persistent viruses in our system, herpes simplex, for example, and zoster, all of which have manifestations of disease in us but don't necessarily get sterilized.
Is there a way to actually test? I mean, can you do oral swabs or you need to actually biopsy?
I think that data is controversial with regard to oral swabs. There are some groups that have looked at oral swabs that have success. In our own program, we've done oral swabs and saliva tests in people with known HPV-positive tumors and not being able to detect the HPV in that solution. So there is an antibody test that can tell you whether you're at risk. That antibody test is not available on the market. It's E6 and E7 antibodies. These are proteins that are internal to the virus. If you carry antibodies to E6 and E7, HPV16, you have about a 30-fold increased risk of head and neck cancer. But whether that predicts risk or not is another question. So, you know, monitoring a group of people, seeing who develops those antibodies and seeing if you have an increased risk, that's a whole different kind of study. And you have to remember that there is no company that's going to do a study or support that. This all has to be supported by the kind of non-pharmaceutical government or charitable organizations that have supported this kind of basic research in the past.
Of course, that funding is not so optimal right now.
That's correct. And once you identify the risk, once you identify a market opportunity, then pharmaceutical firms come in and make it affordable for people to actually get in there and get the test.